शलाकय चक्षुर्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः। रूप कदा मह्यं 13th चैप्टर ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ज्ञेयं यत्तत् प्रवक्ष्यामि यज्ञात्वामृतमश्नुते अनादिमत्परं ब्रह्म न सत्तन्नासदुच्यते सर्वतः पाणिपादं तत् सर्वतोक्षीशिरोमुखं सर्वतः श्रुतिमल्लोके सर्वमावृत्य तिष्ठति सर्वेन्द्रियगुणाभासं सर्वेन्द्रियविवर्जितम् असक्तं सर्वभृच्छैव निर्गुणं गुणभोक्तृ च भूतानाम् अचरं चरमेव च सूक्ष्मत्वात् अविज्ञेयं दूरस्थं चान्तिके च तत् अविभक्तं च भूतेषु विभक्तमिव च स्थितम् भूतभर्तृ च तज्ज्ञेयम् प्रकृष्णो प्रभविष्णु च ज्योतिषामपि तज्ज्योतिः तमसः परमुच्यते ज्ञानम् येयम् ज्ञानगम्यम् हृदि सर्वस्य विष्टितम् इति क्षेत्रम् तथा ज्ञानम् ज्ञेयम् चोत्तम् समासतः मद्भक्त एतद्विज्ञाय मद्भावायोपपद्यते। हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे। सो वी हैव बीन डिस्कसिंग इन दिस सेक्शन 13-19 ज्ञानम एंड ज्ञेयम। ज्ञानम इज द प्रोसेस ऑफ नॉलेज गिवन इन द वर्सेस 8-12 एंड 13-19 इज द ज्ञेयम आर द अल्टीमेट नोएबल। सो इट वॉज एक्सप्लेन्ड इन द प्रीवियस क्लासेस आफ्टर लर्निंग अबाउट द प्रोसेस ऑफ नॉलेज एलैबरेटली वी ऑल्सो लर्न्ड अबाउट वॉट इज ज्ञेयम और दैट विच इज अल्टीमेटली वर्दी ऑफ नोइंग which is the soul, the super soul, and the relationship, which is being explained in this series of verses. So I had mentioned that we will discuss this in 4 classes. You all remember that, isn't it? One class we devoted to understanding on the soul and super soul, isn't it? The difference between the soul and super soul. Then what was the second class about? Yeah. Anybody remember? Oh, that is third. First one is only about super soul. Then the relationship of soul and super soul. And third one is how does a pure devotee understand the super soul? And then how does one taste the eternity? Amritam, or the nectar of eternity, by understanding the knowledge of the super soul. So we were planning to discuss these 4. The first 2 we discussed. Today this, the next 2 we will discuss. Last 2, which we were saying. The scriptures say that the Supreme Lord or the Absolute Truth is inconceivable and not very easily comprehensible or knowable. For example, there are many contradictions given in the scriptures. Lord is very far away. At the same time, Lord is very near as well, it is said. For a devotee, the Lord is very near. For an atheist, the Lord is very far away. And they said, Lord is within as Antaryami, in the heart of everyone. And also the Lord is without as the Virat Purusha of the whole universe. And the Lord, it is said, Lord walks, tat ejati, tat na ejati. Lord does not walk, it is said. That means Lord stays stable in one place, but the Lord also moves, it is said. Like there is the verse, ane ejati ekam manaso jiviyo, ainat deva apnuvan purvamashyat. The Lord, although He walks very casually, there are many demigods who run very swiftly, but they cannot catch up with the speed of the Lord. So these type of contradictions are given in the scriptures. Like here in one of the verses he says, Sarvendri guna bhavam, Sarvendri vivarjitam. It says the Lord has no senses. So regarding the Prabhupada explains in one of the purports, this is 15th verse, 13.15. The purport Prabhupada explains if you see. Supreme Lord, although the source of all the senses of the living entities, doesn't have material senses like they have. Actually, the individual souls have spiritual senses. But in conditioned life, they are covered with material elements, like the eight elements. And therefore, the sense activities are exhibited through matter. The Supreme Lord's senses are not so covered. His senses are transcendental, and therefore called nirguna. Guna means the material modes, but his senses are without material covering. And the Prabhupada explains further, this is actually explained in the Upanishad, Shweta Shweta Upanishad. Apani Pado Javano Grihita, which means the Supreme Personality of Godhead has no hands which are materially contaminated, but He has His hands and accepts whatever sacrifice is offered to Him. And that is the distinction between the conditioned soul and super soul. Lord has no material eyes, but He has eyes. Otherwise, how could He see? He sees everything, past, present and future. He lives within the heart of the living being. So, we were discussing a little bit of this before also. In Ishopanishad, Srila Prabhupada says, these contradictions help us to understand the greatness of the Lord, the greatness of God. All contradictions can be resolved only in God. So, anyone by mundane speculative approach will not be able to access the Lord. Because the Lord is called as Adokshaja. Adokshaja means one who is beyond the range of the mundane senses. He cannot be perceived. Also the Lord Himself says, no one knows me. Mam tu vedana kaschana. The Lord says, I know everyone, but no one knows me. It's like someone saying, I am sitting inside a car and through the cooling glass I am seeing everyone outside. But me, no one knows, isn't it? Because from outside you can't see who is inside the car. Sometimes people keep their hands, you know, hands like this, try to see. Otherwise, generally you can't see, isn't it? Who is inside? In the same manner, Lord says, I can see you, but you can't see me. Like He says, Vedaham samatitani, vartamanani, charjana, bhavishyani, chabutani. I know the past, present and future of everyone. But mam tu vedana kashchana. But me, no one knows. Same thing Lord says in another verse, Naham Prakasha Sarvasya Yogamaya Samavritaha Mudoyam Nabi Janati Lokomama Javabiyam. Same thing He says. There is a curtain of Maya Devi which prevents people in seeing me. So now we are covered by the material body with material eyes and material senses. So we cannot perceive the Lord, as Krishna says. It's beyond the range of the senses. But still Krishna says in the scriptures that my pure devotee can see me. That gives a great hope. Because Lord says, one who has got the premanjana churita bhakti vilochinena, such a person can see me. If one's eyes are tinged with salve of love, then they can, they will have the eyes to see me. So the Shastras talk about seeing. The seeing has a very deep meaning in the Shastra. For example, for one whose heart is afflicted with lust, he will have a very clouded vision of the things that around that he sees in the material world. He will have a vision which cannot discriminate between right and wrong, good and bad. But when one gets the idea of Premanjana Charita, then one can see the Lord, which the Lord has promised in the scriptures. The Lord can be seen with pure eyes. In the same manner, ears also. Although everyone has got 2 ears to hear, not everyone hears the message of the Lord. Like in the scriptures, Lord has spoken so many things. There are promises that He has made. Kaunteya pratijanihi name bhakta pranashyati. My dear Arjuna, my devotee shall never perish. I always protect my devotee. Not that my devotee becomes lonely, good for nothing, penniless, useless. No. I carry what they have and I provide what they lack. The Lord says that. Yoga kshema mahamyaham. So it's a vachan of the Lord. Or what do you call it? Promise made by the Lord. In the same way, the Lord also speaks to the devotees the instruction. Yeme matamidam nityam anutishtanti manavaha. These are my instructions. One who abides by these instructions will be saved from this world. And those who break these instructions will suffer. They'll go to hell and they will suffer. So the Lord is speaking in the scriptures over and over again. And many, many instructions He has given. Ayyeva manadatsva mai buddhim niveshe. Think of me in your heart. Always meditate upon me. And give up your engagement in by being a slave of Maya and become my servant. The Lord is giving a clarion call to all the living entities by speaking in that way. But such a speech of the Lord, which is there in the scripture, may not enter the deaf ears of the living entity in the conditioned stage, owing to his intense desire for gratifying his mind and senses. That's why Prabhupada writes here in one of the purports that only when the senses are purified can one perceive the Lord. Otherwise it's not possible. Until the senses are purified, with impure senses one will only be able to catch up with the impure things of the world. So one is not able to perceive the pure transcendent Supreme Lord. So these good instructions of Krishna spoken in the scriptures will not awaken in the heart of ordinary person. It's not very easy. That is the reason why many people they don't appreciate spirituality so much, because their eyes have become blind and ears have become deaf to understand such pure spiritual principles. So they are very blunt. That is why it is said that Atha Sri Krishna Nama Dinabhave Grahyam Indriyai. The word Grahyam means they are blunt senses. They cannot perceive. It's just almost an impossibility. But the Lord is kind, although He is not easily perceivable. Lord sends His pure representative, the spiritual master, to rescue the living entity. That is why it is said, the Lord without, as the spiritual master, gives the knowledge, and from within gives the remembrance for the living entity. So the spiritual master comes to remind the living entity by giving the knowledge, sambandhanyan. He tells him who is the Lord, who is living being, how the living entity is going through this 8.4 million species of life, and in every species trying to enjoy. So by hearing this knowledge regularly, continuously, gradually the remembrance is awakened. You see, in the heart, the voice of the Lord has to actually awaken. That is why in Srimad Bhagavatam there is a particular word used called as Uttama Shlok. Uttama Shlok means choice poetry. That's a literal translation of the word Uttama Shlok. This Uttama Shloka, choice poetry, is awakened in the heart of a devotee by being impelled by the Lord. Lord actually impels the devotee's heart and kindles these wonderful verses and prayers to arise or awaken in his heart. And then the devotee speaks out, like Brahma is speaking wonderful prayers, Prahlad is speaking prayers, or Dhruva Maharaj is speaking prayers, or the Nagapatnis are speaking prayers. Very, very wonderful prayers. So these prayers, how do they awaken? They are actually impelled by the Lord to speak. So what is so special about these prayers? These prayers actually teach us how we behave in the pure stage. In the pure stage, how the living entity feels utterly humble in front of the Lord. The living entity depends on the Lord. The living entity, what kind of love he feels for the Lord. All these things we learn from these prayers. So these are actually awakened by the Lord. So the not only the prayers, even the realizations are also awakened by the Lord in the heart. So how do people get realizations? The realizations are awakened depending on the sincerity of the individual with which one surrenders to the super soul. And then the Lord awakens those realizations, awakens those prayers, awakens the remembrance especially. Mattaha smitir jnanam apohanam cha. So the super soul is standing by the side of the soul in the heart, region of the heart, and is ever ready to give that remembrance. Just waiting for the moment to see the soul, sincerely surrendering and wanting to gain that remembrance. But when the soul situated in the body is watching in the outside world, what happens? Lord says, Maya Adhyakshena Prakriti, and the Lord says, I conduct the material nature. So the material nature Maya is so designed that those who try to act independent of the Lord, for them this material world will be very confusing. They will find no end to all their research of speculative knowledge. You see in the field of science how much research is being done. There is no end to this speculative research. They are never going to arrive at the absolute truth by such research. Or even the six systems of philosophy, they are also researching and trying to find out what the truth is. Like the Kanada, Jaimini, atheistic Kapila and all these people. They will never be able to arrive at any solution or answer to this complex material universe. It's not possible. So for them, the Lord says, I grant them forgetfulness because they don't surrender to me. They don't seek my shelter. I grant them forgetfulness. But for my devotee who takes shelter of the spiritual master and serves him sincerely with a longing to know the Lord and serve him, then the Lord gives him remembrance, the Lord says. So he grants both. For some he grants remembrance, for others he grants forgetfulness. And without he comes through the spiritual master and grants us the knowledge to understand him. So for the devotees, the material world is never a confusion. In fact, the devotees learn to see Krishna in every walk of life. In fact, everything that happens in the life of a devotee can immediately see a connection to Krishna. Because the devotee feels, sometimes Krishna takes away everything from me and renders me a beggar so that I can completely surrender to him and serve him. Sometimes Krishna gives the devotee abundantly, like he gave Sudama or he gave the fruit vendor. Krishna gives abundantly and devotee thinks, oh, Krishna has given me all these things to use in his service. Sometimes Krishna shows the harsh reality of the material world by making a devotee face some terrible crisis or adversity in life. And a devotee doesn't become defeated in his life. He understands that Lord wants me to see the harsh reality of the world. He sees like that. So the Lord, actually, everything that happens in a devotee's life, a devotee can see Krishna's hand in all those things. That's why, so the Lord gives him remembrance and inspires the devotee how there is Krishna's hand in those things. And then make the devotee come closer to him, brings him closer. So, in this way, the perception of the realization of the super soul is only possible for a devotee. In fact, taking shelter of a spiritual master, how is it done by a candidate ideally, is also explained. A devotee feels oneself very weak and very feeble in the devotion to Krishna. For example, although we are devotees, our devotion to Krishna and our intensity of devotional service that we perform is very weak and feeble. It's like a very tender creeper. It's not very strong. So a devotee is aware of his limitations of surrender. And a devotee also understands that I am not very steady, I am not very stable, I am not very strongly situated, because the living entity has a tendency to fall down. Just like a small toddler baby, when he is crawling, on the ground, sometimes he tries to catch the ball and stand up, and he slips and falls down again. Again he tries to stand up. You have seen small babies? So we are also such living entities. We are weaklings, and we have a tendency to fall back to Maya. But one cannot serve, Prabhupada says that, one cannot serve Maya and Krishna simultaneously. It's not possible. That is the cause of all misery in this world, when you try to do both. One is supposed to surrender to Krishna and serve him completely. When one doesn't do that, then one suffers. So with the understanding of one's weak nature, weak-heartedness and tendency to fall down, when one becomes humble and surrenders to Guru, then by the mercy of Guru, one makes progress in devotional service. Whereas the realization of the super soul gradually becomes more and more and more. It's a gradual realization that one achieves. In fact, such a devotee, over a period of time, awakens the love in the heart for the Lord. In fact, the very definition of love is such that when the love, there are certain natures of this love. For example, love makes very difficult things very easy. And love makes us show equanimity even in the face of injustice. Generally, when there is injustice against you, you become wild. But when there is love, even you find equanimity even in the face of injustice. Or love makes even a great burden appear very light. So such a love awakens in the heart of a devotee by serving the spiritual master. And in such a stage, when heart is filled with love, a devotee does not count in terms of what gifts the ultimate lover Krishna has given him. Rather, he counts what love he gives him. So he sees the love of the giver, not the gift of the lover, it is said. So what is the difference between these two? Love of the giver and gift of the lover. Which is superior? Yeah, somebody said gift? Yeah. Because Krishna also demands only that love. Patram pushpam palam toyam yome bhaktya prayachati. Tadaham bhakti upakritam ashnami prayatatmanah. He says that I don't see what you give, but I only see the love behind it. Similarly, when a devotee comes to a point where this type of love is awakened in his heart by serving a spiritual master, he doesn't consider burden as burden. He considers burden as privilege. So service is considered as a privilege. Like Prabhupada said, please do not take away my privilege to struggle for Krishna. Once Prabhupada said, when devotees were trying to deprive him of some service, and Prabhupada was very sick, so Prabhupada said, please don't take away my privilege to serve Krishna. My privilege to struggle for Krishna, he said. So a devotee doesn't consider burden as burden, but burden as privilege in the path of devotion. Similarly, there may be many injustices against a devotee. Against Parikshit Maharaj there was injustice. For the small mistake he committed by putting a snake around the neck of Samikrishi, he was cursed to die. He was the king of the whole world. Although he had the ability to retaliate, he didn't do that. The injustice caused for the Avanti Brahmana was so great. In fact, children were stoning him. They were passing him urine on his head. They were calling ill names. But the Avanti Brahmana, actually the Avanti Brahmana was a very wealthy man at one time. He was a very miserly person. He had actually mistreated his family members and made them suffer. But at one point of time, suddenly, when there was adversity, trouble in his family, he got awakened to the true knowledge. And he renounced the whole world. And he became a sannyasi. After which he had to endure all the sufferings which came as a result of his own posthumous deeds. And in that stage, you find Amiti Brahmana's tolerance of the injustice. So, when a devotee comes to this platform, when the love is awakened, then one can perceive the presence of the Lord in the heart very clearly, absolutely without any difficulty. As much as we can see the objects in front of us, like that one can perceive the presence of the Lord. Currently there is a lot of noise in the heart, arising from various things. There is noise coming from the mind that is filled with material desires, constantly cropping up one after another, and all of them demanding, attend to me, and all the material desires are cropping up. Mind is flooded with such desires. You can see that. So one after another, all the desires come up in front of us, and we cannot hear any other voice. Just like sometimes in a radio station, you have seen, the radio station, sometimes you are adjusting the tune. It makes a lot of noise. So you have to fine tune and arrive at a particular station in order to get the particular station. Similarly, there is noise coming from the mind, there is noise coming from the intelligence, there is also noise coming from our ego, from different agents. But there is also voice of the super soul within the heart, who is constantly giving us invitation to turn to him and take shelter of him and make our life glorious. Like we sing in the song, famous song of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you know. Jiva jago, jiva jago, Gaura chandra bole, kota nidra jago maya, pishachi rakole. He is saying in that song, my dear living entity, wake up to the reality. You are keeping your head on the lap of the witch of Maya, and she is having a sharp knife in her hands, held very close to your neck. She is about to cut your throat, and you are thinking that her lap is very nice, and you are very peacefully sleeping on the lap of the witch of Maya. Wake up, he is saying. Jeeva jago, jeeva jago. Yena shi yoshadi maya nashi barola gi hari nama maha mantra lavo tumi magi. He is saying, I have brought this valuable medicine of the holy name, which I have brought to administer to you and wake you up from your foolish slumber. So the Lord is trying to wake up the living entity. So the living entity has to actually come to his senses. In our stage, at least we can come to the stage of a prayer that, my dear Lord, owing to my situation in passion and ignorance, I am simply foolish and passionate, absorbed in anger and envy, pride and lust, and I am not able to perceive your mercy in my life, and I am simply chasing after the mirage of the grand illusions of the world. So we can at least offer a prayer for the Lord to wake us up. So how our condition is? Our condition is such that it's not that you are totally ignorant, you don't know. And it is also not that you completely know it. We are in between. There is an example given. Sometimes in a forest you find a hunter goes to a forest and he kills so many animals. But sometimes he doesn't kill certain animals, like monkey he doesn't kill, he brings it. Similarly, sometimes he hunts a fox. Without killing the fox, he just, because the fox has a tendency to howl, so he ties his mouth. And he has tied his mouth, and then on the back side he will be hanging the fox. Have you ever seen some people carrying fox on the back? So his front two legs are tied, back two legs are tied, and mouth is also tied. And this fellow with a rope or something he is carrying on his back and he is walking. And the fox will be behind, you know, his eyes will be open. Mouth is closed. He wants to howl, but he can't howl. And when he is walking, the fox will be, you know, and moving like that, you know, with eyes open. Although he wants to scream, he can't scream. So the living entity's condition is exactly like that. He is bound in this body, and the body gives him many, many troubles, varieties of troubles. Body doesn't cooperate, and gives varieties of diseases. He doesn't want to get old. He doesn't want any threat. He doesn't want tension. He doesn't want stress. But everything comes. And he is watching all these things, like the fox with eyes open. He is watching all these things, but he can't do anything about it. So he is struggling. So he is aware of his suffering, but he doesn't know the solution to it. But the solution is actually taking shelter of a bona fide spiritual master and hearing the Sambandha Gyan and chanting the holy name. And holy name is actually the medicine that cures the malady of material existence, disease. And gradually one wakes up to the reality. And the material diseases actually make us intoxicated. So we have to gradually come down from that intoxication. We go to an infatuated stage, the stage of dreamy state, where we keep on dreaming about the things of this world, due to which we are not able to hear the voice of the Super Soul because of that. So when the intoxication of false pride and attraction for the allurements of the world comes down, then the voice of the Super Soul will become more and more pronounced. One will be able to clearly see the mercy of the Lord. In fact, one will cry, one will pray to the Lord, "My dear Lord, how merciful you are. Who can be a better friend than you? Because you have been coming with me all through all the lifetimes, birth after birth, in so many different species of life. Whether I was in a worm's body or I was in a human body, in whatever body. And you are always my friend, even at the time of death. Because at the time of death, everyone leaves us, except the Super Soul, which accompanies the soul and gives him direction to the next body." And one will wonder, how is it that although I am so fallen and degraded and ignorant and foolish, still you have sent your glorious representative spiritual master to rescue me from this condition. So when one awakens to the knowledge of the Super Soul and his voice, which the message of the scriptures teaches, so then at that time one will make a very rapid progress. The Lord is not just a supervisor, a supadrishta, Anumanta or the permitter, or Bharata or the maintainer. The Lord is also a constant witness to all our activities. The Lord is also a very dear friend to the living being. So we are never alone in this world, although somebody may think we are alone. Many people foolishly feel lonely and get depressed. But actually we are never alone. The Lord is always with us. So one feels lonely because of not being able to perceive the Lord, Lord who is always accompanying us. So in this series of verses, that is why there is description given. Like you see, it's explained, the Super Soul is, in the 14th verse, the Super Soul is all-pervading. 15th verse, it is explained, he is transcendental. 16th verse, it is that all reconciling. The 18th verse, it is, 17th verse, the Super Soul is undivided, it is said. What is the meaning of undivided? Just like the sun is in the sky. You walk even hundreds of miles, thousands of miles, you will still see the sun on your head, above your head. Like sometimes the moon also. When you walk on the road, it appears to be going with you. Similarly, the Super Soul is only one. Similarly, sometimes you find in several pots of water, the sun gets reflected. In every pot, you find a sun. It's not that there is one sun in each of the pots, it is all divided or cut into pieces, but the same sun reflects. Similarly, one Kshiradakshaya Vishnu who resides above Brahma's planet, in the Shvetadvip, that Kshiradakshaya Vishnu who lives in the milk ocean, he reflects in the heart of every living entity as a Super Soul. It's the same person. Prabhupada gives another example. Sometimes you go to a TV shop, you find, there are many televisions kept and things are going on, isn't it? When they keep the same channel, the same pictures are going on. But at the same time, it's shown in different televisions. Same thing is being shown. In the same manner, the same Super Soul resides in the heart of different living beings. The same Lord is residing. But one shouldn't tend to think, maybe the Lord is there in Shvetadvip and not in my heart. Maybe it's a reflection. Lord is also in our heart. Lord is present in every heart. At the same time, He is present there also. But it's the same person. That's why it is said, Sarva Kshetreshu Bharata, he says. He is there in all the bodies. So he is called undivided in that sense. Although he appears in the heart of everyone, he is also called as undivided. And so he is and 18th verse says he is the source of all enlightenment. Yeah. And the 19th verse says, only Lord's devotees can know them. So each of the verses talks about one man aspect of Super Soul. Should I repeat it again?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. It says Super Soul is, in 14th verse it is said the Super Soul is all pervading. So what is that? Sarvata Pani Padam Tat. That means the Lord's hands are everywhere, legs are everywhere, face is everywhere, you know, all that is said. That means he is everywhere, this all pervading aspect. Then 15th verse talks about how the Lord is transcendental. Mat Param, he says, the Lord is beyond the soul. And the 16th verse talks about how the Lord is all reconciling. Bahirantascha Bhutana Macharam Charame Vacha Sukshmatvat Avigneyam Durastam Chantikeche. See, the Supreme Truth exists outside and inside of all living beings, the moving and non-moving. Because he subtly is beyond the parametal senses, no. Although far, far, he is also near. So, reconciling the contradictions which I was talking, Taddure, Tadvantike, isn't it? Inside, outside. So, only the Lord can do such a thing. All reconciling. 16th. Then 17th verse talks about how the Lord is undivided, like the sun. And the 18th verse talks about how the Lord is the source of all enlightenment. And the 19th verse says, only the Lord's devotees can know the Lord. Nobody else can understand the Super Soul. Only through devotional service the Lord can be understood. Now we were talking about how the inconceivable Lord, who cannot be perceived by mundane senses, is perceived by a devotee, a Mahabhagavata devotee or pure devotee. In Ishopanishad also there is explanation given how a devotee perceives the Lord. You can recite that verse. Yasta sarvani bhutani atmanje vanu pashyati. Sarva bhuteshu chatmanam tato na vijugupsate. See, here it says, he who sees everything in relation to the Supreme Lord, who sees all living entities as his parts and parcels, and who sees the Supreme Lord within everything, never hates anything or any being. See, he says here, that means one should see everything in this world in relation to the Lord. For example, everything in this world is either material energy of Krishna or spiritual energy of Krishna, marginal energy of Krishna. And also who sees all living entities as his parts and parcels. And who sees the Supreme Lord within everything. That means the heart of every living being, he is also seeing the Super Soul. Never hates anything or any being. This is the vision of a Mahabhagavata devotee. So, in Bhagavad Gita, there is a verse, Vidyavaniya Sampanne, Brahmane Gavihastani, Shunikeva Shopakecha Pandita, Samadarshina. So, Samadarshi is a person who can see in all these bodies, like in a cow's body, or an elephant, or a brahmana, or a dog, or a dog eater, elephant. In all these bodies, he sees the same soul sitting. But how does he see? He sees that the spiritual particle in the body of a brahmana has rightly used his free will. So he is sitting in the body of brahmana. Another spiritual particle sitting in the body of a dog has wrongly misused his free will. So he is sitting in the body of a dog. But both of them are equal in quality. Like that he sees. And in both the bodies he is seeing the super soul sitting by the side of the soul, untouched by any material influence. He is able to see. That's how the Mahabhagavata devotee sees. And he, in that way, he is able to respect every living entity, including a small ant. There is a story of Shankaracharya, you must have heard, how when he went to a well to fetch some water, he was about to fetch some water and there was a man who was standing there with, you know, the bucket of water. So he said, "Can I give you, sir, can I give you some water? Can you take?" So he was about to accept, and then he looked at the man. He was very blackish and looking very ugly, and immediately Shankara concluded he must be of a lower caste man. So he thought, how can I accept from his hands? Then when he refused, he said, "You move aside, you know, I will purify this bucket and I will take it myself." Then immediately that person, you know, reveals to him as Lord Shiva. Lord Shiva comes. I think actually himself is Lord Shiva, Adi Shankara himself. But he is given a revelation how, because of seeing the superficial skin, he is thinking of someone to be of lower caste, somebody to be of higher caste. For us, we can see in this world, this kind of discrimination is so much overwhelming. We see people according to their caste, creed, color, nationality, gender, upper class, lower class, their financial status, their intelligence level or IQ. We always differentiate the living entities based on all the superficial coverings. And to put aside all these coverings and be able to perceive the soul and understand the equality or the same quality of the soul in all the bodies. That is the vision of Mahabhagavata. Yeah. So Prabhupada explains about the Kanishta, Madhyama and Uttama Adhikaris in this verse, to explain how in Kanishta stage one doesn't even know who is a devotee, who is a non-devotee. Kanishta is treating everyone equally, ignorantly. Just like, for example, sometimes a person is very calm. Two people are very calm. One in mode of ignorance, one in mode of goodness. The difference is a person in mode of ignorance is calm in laziness. And a person in mode of goodness is calm in knowledge. But a person in passion is not calm. He is very agitated. So we should be calm how? In mode of goodness. Similarly, the Mahabhagavata devotee also sees equality, and the Kanishta also sees equality. Like Kanishta, when he comes to the temple, he may either ignore the devotees who are giving class, he may just go and take darshan of the Lord directly and put a coin and go away. Or if he begins to respect devotee, he will respect all devotees equally, thinking everyone is a pure devotee. How many of you felt like that for the first time when you came to temple? Correct? Isn't it? We don't know the difference between devotees. So he treats everyone equally. So that is why when such people, if something happens to some devotee, immediately his faith is shattered. Isn't it? Because he thinks everyone is a pure devotee. They don't have understanding. But then when one goes to Madhyama stage, one can discriminate. One can understand. Ishwareta, Tadineshu, Balesheshu, Vishachita, Premamaitri, Krupapeksha, Yahkarotasa, Madhyamaha. In Madhyama Adhikari, he can know, well, who is the Lord? Nobody can become God. He clearly knows. And who is a devotee? Who is innocent? And who is a vairi or dveshi? Dveshi of the Lord. Envious of the Lord. He knows all these four. He can discriminate. And Uttamadhikari is one who does not discriminate. Like it is said, a Madhyamadhikari should not try to deliver a dveshi, but Uttamadhikari can. Like, you know, Swarup Damodar chastised Bhagavan Acharya for bringing his brother, isn't it? Who was a Mayavadi. He told him not to associate. He told him to keep distance. Lord Chaitanya chastised Kala Krishnadas for going into the assembly of Bhattaharis and not associate with them. But the same Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you find, he says that even if Lord Nityananda goes into a liquor shop, I will not have any doubts about him, because he can go to deliver someone like Jagai Madaidhar. So he can do that because he is Uttamadhikari. In Uttamadhikari level, one can deliver such people. Actually, we don't have the adhikara to deliver envious people. Because as soon as we meet envious people, we will develop hatred for them. But Uttamadhikari cannot develop hatred for anyone. Even the most envious person, he will love him, seeing him as a part and parcel of Krishna. You can see that. So he can see the super soul, and he can see the part and parcel of the super, part and parcel of the Lord, the soul also. One more verse also talks about the Mahabhagavat's sai, how he sees the supreme Lord of the super soul. Yasmin sarvani bhutani.
Yasmin sarvani bhutani.
Atmaiva bhut vijanatah.
Atmaiva bhut vijanatah.
తత్ర కో మోహక శోక ఏకత్వం మను పశ్యతః. One who always sees all living entities as spiritual sparks, in quality one with the Lord, becomes a true knower of things. What then can be illusion or anxiety for him? So the living entities in this world, they suffer from three shortcomings, namely shoka, moha and bhaya. Lamentation about things that a living entity could not achieve in life, or lamentation about the things lost in this world, or lamentation about the possessions lost or taken away. So we have lamentation. Then we have illusion of the present because of seeing the glittering mirage of Maya chasing after it. So there is a illusion also. Then there is fear of the future always. What is future going to bring for me? Whether my ambitions will be fulfilled or not. So shoka, moha, bhaya. These three things are there with everyone in this world. So here he is asking, tatra ko moha ka shoka. Prabhupada writes one very powerful sentence here, which I would like to repeat. I would like to read it here. In this purport, Prabhupada writes one. See, Prabhupada says here, a godless civilization arises from illusion, and the result of such a civilization is lamentation. Please allow me to repeat the sentence. A godless civilization arises from illusion, and the result of such a civilization is lamentation. Very nice, man, isn't it? He says, a godless civilization, decoration of the dead body civilization, that arises from illusory concept of life, because everyone is worshipping the body as everything. Atma buddhi, yasya atma buddhi, kunapetri dhatuke, that buddhi. And what is the result of such a civilization? Lamentation, stress and tension and fear and anxiety. And Prabhupada says, it may be crushed at any moment. And Prabhupada says, if we wish to get rid of all sorts of illusion and anxiety and create unity out of all diverse interests, we must bring God into all our activities. So, a pure devotee is free from this kind of shoka, moha, bhaya and all these things. Why? Because his heart is filled with love that we were talking before. He sees that all the living entities in this world belong to one family only, and that is Krishna's family. Krishna is the father and all living entities are his children. In fact, Bhagavatam says, we should treat all the animals like children, like the cow, the bull, the dog, the squirrels, and all the animals that we see, the birds, they should be treated like children. And one should know, just as I have the right to accept my quota of food, and my quota of clothing and shelter and everything, similarly every living entity in this world is a praja of the Supreme Lord, and they have the right to accept theirs. So I should not come in the way. Like in a Gaurmohan day, Prabhupada's father used to keep some eatable for the rats in the cloth shop. So the rats would never bite the cloth. They would just eat away their portion, they would go away. And if you don't give them food, they will bite all the clothes. They will tear them into pieces, isn't it? And it becomes useless. A lot of money is lost. So in the Vedic life, even in the field, they would keep for the mice. They would keep some grains, reserved for the mice, and mice will come to that place and eat and go away. And they will not cut the plants and trees, it is said. So, a devotee can understand that everyone is a son of God, but in different bodies, that's all. One child of God is in a rat's body, or a dog's body, or a cow's body, or in a human body. So in this way, one sees the kind of familial relationship with everyone in the creation. That is why, in your home, if your brother or sister is angry with you, you don't take it very seriously. You know, many times we ignore it. In the same manner, in this world also, although the world looks like a big world, ultimately all living in it is a Krishna's children. If one can have that vision, then we cannot develop anger or avarice towards anyone. It's not possible. So that is the meaning of ekattvam manupashyatah. To see that oneness, the underlying denominator of all things in this world, which is having a common supreme father, Krishna. Just like, you know, Like Indians, they have a pledge, you know, that we all are Indians, we all are one in spirit. Isn't it? We may be, they sing that song, you know. What is that song?
India is my country.
India is my country. No, Janayana Managari is saying, no? Somebody is belonging to, what is that place?
Gujarat Maratha.
Yeah, Gujarat Maratha. Yeah, you all know it, is it? I don't know how many schools, colleges they sing it nowadays.
Regularly.
Is it?
Every day.
Every day? In college also?
No, not college, school.
School, such. Yeah.
College on 2 days.
Yeah. So in that song you find, isn't it? Isn't it? So although you belong to different part of India, we all are Indians. But that is only a relative truth. Like all of us are one in spirit as Indians, as the sons and daughters of Bharat Mata, when you say. But then our being an Indian is not a perfect identity. It's a superficial identity. And it's a changing identity. It's a relative identity. But when you talk of souls, which are part and parcels of Krishna, that is an imperishable identity. So, a Mahabhagavata devotee can remove all the peels of the superficial identities and he can see beyond that. Otherwise, why did Prabhupada travel to America, you know, cross the seas and, you know, give his mercy to Americans? The pure devotee doesn't discriminate between man and woman. Prabhupada treated all his disciples alike. He didn't discriminate between man and woman, Indian and American. Prabhupada didn't see any difference. So one, he could show his love even for them. Probably if we were sent to see them, you know, we would immediately criticize their way of life. We would criticize their shortcomings. So Prabhupada could see that soul, spark of soul, and the spark of Krishna consciousness. So in this way, a Mahabhagavata devotee knows that here is a soul who is trying to make an independent plan to enjoy, separate from Krishna. But in his heart also there is a super soul waiting to offer him the wisdom. So let me become an instrument of his super soul and try to inspire him to turn to the super soul. That is their interest. And they try to help every living entity, saying that ultimately in the spiritual world there is no clash of interest. The Lord's interest is the living being's interest. And there is a unlimited oceanic love in which all the living entities and the Lord, they are floating, exchanging with one another, unending bliss. But only in the material world we have become naughty, mischievous children, trying to enjoy separately. So keeping this in mind, the pure devotee sees the conditioned souls and tries to help them. So in this way, the Mahabhagavata devotee can clearly see the soul and super soul, and he can always feel sympathy even for the enemies who come to harm a devotee. Yeah. And when one comes to that realization, one experiences, he says, one tastes the amritam of the eternity. What is the meaning of that? The meaning is, like there is a very beautiful saying by one Tamil son, one writer. He says, after running over and over and over and over again and again in the rat race for achieving high position, at last I found myself a rat, he says. I remained a rat, he says. In this world, no matter how much you chase in the rat race, you remain a rat. Similarly, a devotee who advances in Krishna consciousness, one comes to the realization that there is no benefit whatsoever in this wild goose chase in this material world. No matter how much we run around here and there, one cannot get lasting satisfaction in the material world, because material world is designed for suffering. Dukkhalayam, it is designed for suffering. But because we are not sufficiently convinced about this fact, that is why we endeavor, despite knowing that also. So when the super soul realization awakens, then the devotee becomes greatly absorbed in conversation with the Lord in the heart. And then in such a state of consciousness, the devotee can offer several prayers to the Lord. Just like you hear Prahlad Maharaj offering prayer or Dhruva Maharaj offering prayer. So these kind of prayers actually awaken in the heart of a devotee. And not only it's a one-way thing, it's not a one-way traffic that, you know, devotee keeps offering prayer, but Lord also reciprocates from his side by offering answers to the prayer of the devotee. And in this way, when one feels oneself in a state of timelessness, what is the feeling of timelessness? This is explained by Lord Shiva to Parvati when he saw the Chitraketu. He is telling also, Narayana para sarve na kutaschana bibhyati svargapavarga narakeshu api tulya artha darshana. A devotee comes to a platform where he or she gets such a deep sense of satisfaction that the devotee feels there is nothing more to be achieved. Yam labdva cha param labam manyate nadikam tataha asmin sthitona dukkena gurunapi vichalyate. It is said, tam vidya dukkha samyogam vyogam yoga sangeetam. In the 6th chapter it is said, yam labdva, having attained that bliss, boundless bliss, it is said, a devotee considers there is nothing more to be attained in this world. One is completely nourished and satisfied in the heart. And even if one is faced with terrible adversities in life, difficulties in life, even at that time one will not even budge 1 inch from his determination to love the Lord and serve Him. So one comes to such a platform of happiness, boundless happiness, boundless bliss. So that comes from the revelation of the Lord, when Lord reveals Himself in the heart. The devotee comes to the stage. Now, for example, in our material consciousness, we always feel that something is lacking in our life, correct? Like, you know, generally a person thinks, if I somehow or other become a success in my life, and what is success according to them? Success according to a common man means, somehow or other you have to become an engineer or a doctor or a chartered accountant, and you have to, nowadays success means you get a software job paying a very, very big salary, six digit salary or whatever. You get a very big job and you go to the top ranks in society. You know, I saw one advertisement, they had put some advertisement for some colony of houses, you know, row house or something, for people who have reached to the top, you know, for them. It's reserved for them. It's not for anybody. So for them, according to them, reaching to the top means in terms of money only, right? Economic status. So many people consider that to be the success, and then you work hard, and then you get, and then increase in the possessions, and then once you have possessions, just like Maslow says, you know, food, clothing, shelter, and after that, you know, social prestige, status, you know, it goes higher like that. So one considers all these things. But then one will find, after having achieved all these things, still one will find unfulfillment in the heart, exactly as Hiranyakashipu felt. You know, Hiranyakashipu had everything, but he was not happy. He was actually, he had captured everything from the demigods. He had taken away all the wetting agent, drying agent, heating agent, everything in his hands. You know, wetting, drying, heating agents are Agni, Varuna and Vayu. He had taken all their powers and he gave them resignation, pink slip, he gave them, sent them off. They could not do their job. He said, I will control them. Like, you know, in our place, if it is very cool now, you can have a heat pump, isn't it? But Hiranyakashipu would directly control the sun. Can you imagine? So no modern... Somebody was asking me, in the modern times, man is so atrocious. Why God is not coming? But modern man compared to Hiranyakashipu is nothing. He is not even... He doesn't deserve even to be called as tiny Hiranyakashipu. He is not even a mosquito. So despite achieving such a status, Hiranyakashipu was frustrated. Even after having achieved the throne of Indra, like that. That's why Vamanadeva says to Bali Maharaj that, I am a Brahmana, why should I ask for more than 3 steps of land? Because even if I achieve the whole earth or the universe, even if you give me, if I have uncontrolled senses, even the whole universe will not satisfy me. He says, so it's wiser for me to have controlled senses. As long as I have uncontrolled mind and senses, you will never be satisfied. So that's a very good lesson. So our hankering for material possessions and positions is a proof of our lack of Krishna consciousness. Because to the degree we are Krishna conscious, to that degree we will not seek pleasure in the material things of this world. We will not bank upon them or hang on them for some pleasure. To the degree we are internally satisfied, we will not be chasing after the mirage of the things of the world. We will be deeply satisfied. In fact, what to speak of the satisfaction, here it is said, even if you are sent to hell, even if you are sent to... I always had a doubt, why, Kunti Maharani is praying, Bhavato Darshanam Yachat, Apunar Bhava Darshanam. It seems that Kunti is doing bhakti only to become free from the, Punar Bhava, or material existence. So, similarly, I was also thinking many, if you see Kulashakara's songs, many songs talk about, I want to get rid of this material world, I want to go back to you. Even Prahlad says that I'm afraid of this material existence. One place he says that, in one verse, material association, all that. Then later I understood that devotee is never afraid of living in the material world, or even in hell also. But why a devotee laments like this? A devotee curses the material existence because it puts him to forgetfulness. So a devotee thinks, my dear Lord, when I was with you, how glorious the life was. 24 hours a day I was remembering you and serving you with full consciousness. Now the material world covers our consciousness over and puts us to forgetfulness and deprives us of association with Krishna and impedes our ability to render service to Krishna freely by offering temptations and trials and tribulations and forgetfulness and all that, the material world. So a devotee is eagerness to go beyond the Punarbhavam is only for serving Krishna. And that is proved by Kulashakara in that verse. Kumbhi pakam gurum apihare narakam napanetum. He says, you send me to hell, my dear Lord, I have no problem. As long as I have your remembrance. He says. So, this is the state one attains, a state of timelessness where devotee doesn't care. Like for example, Prabhupada was making kachoris in Calcutta, during the Second World War. So he was very happily singing Hare Krishna and making kachoris. Why? Because if the bomb drops and you die, then because you are singing Krishna's names, you will land up in the spiritual world. And if you don't die, you are happy anyway now. Either way, you are happy. So a devotee feels, I have nothing more to be achieved in life. I have already achieved. Like one day I was in Bombay, in the early days, 94. I think it was a Gaur Purnima day, we were dancing in the Gaur Arati. So, his one is Radhanathaswami Maharaj was telling, today we are going to participate in the Maha Gaur Arati of the whole year. And then he was telling, such a great fortune we have achieved to dance in front of Lord Gauranga Mahaprabhu on this day, on the day of his appearance. Yeah, and I was wondering what I have achieved so great. because I just spent 1 or 2 years, it was apparent to me that, it didn't seem to be a very great achievement, I thought that, every Sunday we come, we dance. That didn't seem to be a very special thing. So, later on, after several years, I read in one place that when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked Advaita Acharya whether he wants any benedictions, Advaita Acharya told him, my dear Lord, you already have given me a benediction. How? By allowing me to dance in front of you. And when I was dancing in front of you for your pleasure, you watched me. So that itself is a great benediction, you already granted it. And I don't want anything more, he said. So then he understood that, Lord allowing us to dance for his pleasure also is a great boon, great benediction. And so Maharaj was telling that if you are in the consciousness of the spiritual world, he said, then you are in the spiritual world. You have to just realize that, he was telling. You are already in front of the Lord, you are in the spiritual world. So it's a question of consciousness, whether we are absorbed in Krishna consciousness or our mind is consumed by material consciousness. So it's a question of consciousness, what consciousness we are in. Prabhupada said the forests are in mode of goodness, isn't it? The liquor shops are in mode of ignorance, the city is in mode of passion, but my temples are all in Vaikuntha, Prabhupada said. So, Prabhupada says, one is serving the deity, one is chanting the holy name, one is reading Shastra, one is serving a devotee, one is doing any devotional activity, one's consciousness is absorbed in that, one is actually in the spiritual world. such a question of consciousness. So one will come to this stage of consciousness where one will realize this fact that there is nothing more to be achieved than the company of the Lord, than the most fortunate company of Lord's remembrance. Actually, Lord will reveal many, many great truths about himself to such a devotee, more and more. It will be a revelation of heart for the devotee as the time progresses in a devotee's advancement. So that is why it is said that one will experience that amrit, or the taste of eternity. That was, what is the 2.14 to the second chapter 14th verse? Somrutatvaya kalpate. No, yamhina vyathayantyete purusham purusharshava samadukha sukham dhiram samrutatvaya kalpate. So what is the result of tolerating all the miseries of this world and being fixed in service? The result is you will attain amritatva or eternity. So Prabhupada gives three instructions in one place. He says, tolerate externally, be cheerful internally, and be steady in service. I read in one letter. It's an amazing instruction. Tolerate externally, be cheerful internally, and be steady in service. Don't become sporadic in your service, or don't do intermittent service, or don't avoid service when there is problem and do service when mind feels enthusiastic, but be steady in service to Krishna, because sometimes you will feel waves of ecstatic love attacking your heart and you will feel jubilant, and at other times you may feel dryness like a desert in the heart, and both will come in the life of a devotee because we are still on the mental platform of accepting and rejecting. We haven't become purified. Or even if you go beyond the mental platform, still the Lord may drive your heart by giving a desert-like experience in order to test your sincerity. The Bhagavan Sarthi says, the absolute truth is never perceivable by, and the transcendental autocrat is not achievable by the limited mind and senses, he says. Lord cannot be achieved. So he says, with this mind and with this senses and the mind, we will not be able to perceive Krishna as long as we are in the material world. So he says, why Lord has put us in this condition? Because Lord is testing us whether we are eager enough to meet him. So the devotee should be very patient in achieving that ultimate state of realization. So that is the beauty of realization of the Lord in the heart. And the Lord can answer actually practically every question of the devotee. You ask, some devotees have experience that sometimes you had a question ringing in your mind and then you found opened a book and you immediately got the answer for the very same question you had in the mind. Or sometimes you have a question and then later on you get an answer from within, and then you go to some devotee and ask and they say exactly the same answer. It happens like that. That happened to Vedavyas. Vedavyas had a question. Why am I not able to be happy? Why am I despondent? Even after writing all the, Puranas and such, everything. And what answer he got from within? I have not sufficiently glorified the Supreme Lord. He got the answer actually. But then what he did when his spiritual master Narada Muni came, reconfirmed the answer from him. And Narada said the same thing. Similarly, Lord in the heart can actually answer some of the difficult questions we have. All we need to be is to be sincere in the execution of devotional service. Because the Lord is far more intelligent than us, extraordinarily intelligent. So we cannot trick him, we cannot cheat him, we cannot play with him. We have to be honest and sincere to him. So if you are sincere in execution of devotional service, then just like a mother attends to the needs of the child, similarly Lord also keeps providing the right thing at the right time. Sometimes it's so amazing how he provides us the right thing at the right time. Sometimes there is oceanic information, but the Lord puts a book in front of you and you read that and it's exactly the thing you are looking for. It's very amazing it is. So all of the questions in our life will be answered. So with this we'll conclude the Super Soul section, and the next week we'll proceed to the next section. That is a very interesting section also, 20th onwards. Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki?
Yeah.
Srila Prabhupada ki. Anybody had a question in this? But we give an example, Prabhupada gives this example, that like the sun reflects in each pot, when there is water in all the pots, the sun reflects. Similarly, one super soul can expand himself into all the atoms and all the bodies. That's possible for him. See, for us it may be a little bewildering, because we have no experience of expanding ourselves. You can't expand yourself, you know, one you sent to Atharva, one you sent to college, you know, can't do that. If only can we can do that, how wonderful it will be. For us, even two expansions are enough. One in the temple, one in the college. You know? Actually, even Sukadeva Goswami did that, I heard. Sukadeva Goswami, his father was so much wanting him. So, Sukadeva Goswami expanded into two. One Sukadeva Goswami became brahmachari, one became grihastha. You know that? One went home, actually. One lived with the father. Isn't it? So we have no experience of expanding and doing activities, you know. So it may be very surprising for us how Lord in the, you know, Kshetradvip, he expands into every heart like a, it's not just a reflection, but the Lord is personally present, yeah. How he is personally present, how there can be contamination? Oh, our contamination is only for us. See, when you see things from material point of view, you call something as pure and something as impure. For him, nothing is impure. At all. Like you know this verse, sadhu shvapicha papeshu samabuddhiru vishishyate. So a sadhu or a papi, a liberated person sees him alike. In the same way, Lord considers it as binname, prakritrashtara. All this is actually separated energy of the Lord only. So when do you call something as material? When it is utilized for a purpose other than the Lord's service, then it becomes material. So, in our consciousness, we have to see something as material, something as spiritual. But from Lord's point of view, everything is spiritual. Even a pure devotee, Vishwam Purna Sukhayate, he says, no, the whole world is a jolly place for a devotee. Because he doesn't see it as material. Electricity is saying, there is nothing like cold electricity or hot electricity. It's only one electricity, yeah. Anybody had a question?
So you were saying that sometimes God gives a test of dryness and oil. So if the dry is there, then in that case, like how we should all perceive it, whether it is because of like offenses also make the system dry. And it may be dry because it's like a test and we have to just go on.
Yeah.
Like, what should be the...
Vashu is saying, when one feels dry in the heart, one doesn't feel the bliss of Krishna consciousness in some time, what should one perceive it as? One of the best ways to think is that I have committed many offenses due to which I am feeling dryness. That's the best way to think. Yeah, that's correct way of thinking, yeah. But the explanation is given that for pure, even if an advanced devotee may face such things when Lord sometimes tries to test his sincerity. Yeah. Yes, Prabhu? One last. Yeah, mind wise, intelligence wise, yeah. That is why we consult those who have fine-tuned their consciousness more than us. Why do we go to the spiritual master? Because people at that level, for them all the material, you know, the turmoil, the vibration has calmed down. So they can see things better. And they can see so clearly, you know. It's so amazing that they can see so clearly. So it's better to consult with those who can see things more clearly when we are not able to decide something. Like you can see a person who is in mental turmoil, terrible mental turmoil, he can't decide even very small things. But if you are able to decide some better things, then all of us have a limit, you will see that, beyond which we can't decide about things. So So at that time we should always consult superior. See, as soon as a question arises in your mind, there is a likelihood of something being wrong somewhere. Like I'll tell you, for example, somebody is asking, somebody wants to do something but is a little afraid to do that. Can I do this? Is it not illegal or is it not mischievous to do this? Or what will be the consequence of that? Is it pap or is it, you know, is it all right? Yeah. So whenever we get questions, Maharaj says, Rana Swami says that we should analyze it case to case. It's very difficult to generalize because dharma should be performed according to time, place, circumstance. Dharma changes according to time, place, circumstance. For example, you know, if you see a cow, the butcher is running behind, you know, you shouldn't say that I saw the cow. Because saving the life of the cow becomes a dharma. Telling the truth is not such an important dharma at that time. So similarly, according to Deshakala Patra, we have to analyze. But one thing is, there is an inherent ability in a human being to also be able to assess dharma to some extent. Inherently there is a inbuilt system in us which gives us a signal that this is wrong, this is right. We all can see that there is a kind of compass in our system, and we can always reconfirm it. Like, you know, tasmat shastra pramanante karya karya vyavasthita Krishna says. So now we, by attending classes and by hearing lectures and reading purports and everything, we gradually come to understand what is right, what is wrong. Sometimes you will have to compromise on some principles for a higher cause or something like that. But one should always clarify. One should be very careful. Like for example, we don't eat onion garlic. Like one time Prabhupada had gone to some house in Delhi and they had given with onion garlic. And devotees were very annoyed. They gave onion garlic. They were about to tell the person. Prabhupada said, don't talk, because you all didn't tell them before cooking. You should not put onion garlic. And they are very favorable people to this con. Prabhupada said, you just remove it and you eat it like that. But now if somebody makes it a policy and goes every time in future, Prabhupada has given a sanction, now I can eat onion garlic. No. Then a person is insincere. No. That is why I was telling you, if you are sincere, then the super soul will help a lot. One will get a lot of help from within and without. Without the spiritual master and within the Chaitya Guru, super soul. No? But when he perceives a mischievous tendency, then he will make plan, he will tell Maya to arrange for us whatever is to be given. Then we will have to be purified through another agent. So I had one more announcement to make. How many